My name is Amy Klein, and I'm Chief Executive Officer at Capital Roots. And we are a food access organization based in Troy, and we work throughout the entire Capital Region to make fresh, healthy food accessible and affordable.
So how is making food accessible and affordable a topic that is related to sustainability?
Folks being able to, you know, provide for their own food access is critically important, especially when you are living in an urban space. Having the ability to, within your neighborhood, access your basic needs like food is a key element of a sustainable community. And we also work to build and manage neighborhood food gardens so that people can grow their own food. So it's really about providing the full array of services so that people can, you know, eat good quality food and get it in their neighborhoods.
How is Capital Roots remedying inequalities in access to nutrition? And how has your approach changed over the years of your organization?
We started out as a community gardening organization back in 1975, and we were created by Gardenway, the manufacturer of Troy-built rototillers here in Troy. And for about 25 years, we were exclusively a community gardening organization. And it's still a big piece of what we do today. We currently have 55 neighborhood food gardens where over 4,000 people are growing their own organic food in our community spaces. And about more than 15 years ago, we were seeing that the neighborhoods that we work in were losing markets, supermarkets. They were leaving the urban spaces and moving to the suburbs. And, you know, what that meant is that people were not having access to the full array of the market basket. And in particular, what they weren't having access to was fresh quality food. And for folks who, you know, don't have cars, have limited transportation, it's a, you know, concern. And this really was before the USDA had coined the term food desert, but we were seeing it firsthand. And because we worked with the communities, we knew that people wanted to eat quality food because they worked hard to grow it. And so we started thinking about ways that we could make quality food accessible and affordable in the same neighborhoods that we were currently working in. And so we began to experiment with a variety of food access programs, beginning most notably with our Veggie Mobile, which was the first mobile produce market in the country. There are many now that are modeled after the Veggie Mobile. And from there, we developed a whole array of food access programs that are based in the neighborhoods that we serve, mostly inner city neighborhoods, making fresh food affordable and accessible. And they're affordable because we don't mark up the cost of our food. Whatever we buy it for is what we sell it for. And we buy more than half of the food that we sell from local farmers. So it's really top quality stuff, and it gives everyone the ability to access really good quality food.
You mentioned you started out as a community garden. Was there a lot of pushback with fighting for plots of land to become reserved for growing vegetables and green spaces? Was it an easy thing to establish in the Capital Region?
You know, I wasn't around back then, but from what I understand of the origins of the organization, there was plenty of vacant land. Our founder, Dean Leith, just began tilling up spaces in here in Troy and starting community gardens. We didn't own those lands at the time, and so many of the gardens were started and then were lost to development over time. We expanded into Albany because, as the story goes, Mayor Corning was interested in what the organization was doing here and asked if we could help and bring the community gardening program into Albany, and that's how the gardens spread into Albany. We became an urban land trust in the early 80s, recognizing the importance of creating permanent green spaces within our community gardening program. And so that is now a really important thrust of our community gardening program. We own many of the gardens that we operate so that they are permanently protected and will be forever used as community gardens.
And you mentioned that the grocery stores were following residents moving into suburbs. Is there another reason that we have a system of food deserts? And then in addition to that, the lack of nutrition education and unaffordable produce? Is there some understanding of how this system became to be so frequent?
Yeah, supermarkets saw really the benefit in their business model being in superstores. You know, the model of your smaller market was no longer viable for an urban space because they couldn't earn the same price point in terms of their square footage that they could with a superstore. And so the whole model for supermarkets really changed over the years, beginning in the really early 90s, where markets began to favor these superstores for, their bottom line. And, at the same time, small mom and pop shops closed up because supermarkets were more affordable. So you had that happening at the same time. And so that left urban communities primarily, but also rural communities without right-sized markets, grocery stores. And that's really how these communities came about, that people call food deserts, in terms of, having access to nutritious food. There are still, plenty of markets available. It's just a matter of being able to get quality food into the markets. And, it's one of the things that we do as an organization is we work with small convenience stores to enable them to sell fresh produce because there's no reason why our small markets can't. It's just a matter of distribution and infrastructure for these small markets.
What does the Capital Region need to do differently in order to create more sustainable systems that are accessible for everybody?
I think first and foremost, people need to be thinking beyond the obvious solutions. We work on food, we work on community development from a standpoint of accessible communities, beautifying communities, how people move about, in non-motorized vehicles. But, we need to be thinking more creatively about how we can create communities that don't necessarily look like the communities of the 80s and 70s. So, for example, the supermarket model, I really believe, is dead as far as urban spaces. And so instead of trying, working really hard to try to get a supermarket back into our urban spaces, what can we do to work with the infrastructure that we have or to have a right-sized market, to create solutions with what exists within our environment.
The session that you will be leading at the Sustainable Futures Conference is Why Good Food Should Not Be a Privilege. Could you give a little preview of what this breakout session will be about?
I think the notion really exists and has for a long time that, good quality food really is a privilege that is for those who have access to the most resources. When you think of farmers markets and you think of, that top quality, just picked food, that is often not thought about being afforded to people who are less resourced. And that shouldn't be a privilege. It should be an equally accessible option for everyone. And so that's really the basis for what our organization is about and how we can level the playing field so that everyone has access to the same top quality food, regardless of where you live or what your socioeconomic status is.
What kind of work would you like to see come out as a result of the Sustainable Futures Conference?
The idea of the conference, of bringing together so many different thought leaders and people in the community representing different ideas around sustainability, I think that has the promise of really creating collaborations outside the normal workings of, you know, that most people, you know, connect with. And so I think that opportunity is really what this conference, for me, that's exciting, is that opportunity to work outside the norm.